Today on Dog Pound Report, Coach Pettine delivers a quarterback update. Joe Thomas gives us his thoughts on the new Browns offense, and we give you all the news that came out of the owners' meetings. This is Dog Pound Report. Good morning and welcome to Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin, joined by look who's back. It's Nathan Zagura.
Andy, it's good to be back. Had a little fun in the sun down there in Florida. Got to play a little golf, my favorite thing to do, hang out with the kids at the pool. So it was a good trip.
Did you hit them straight? Did you stop thinking about football for like 30 seconds?
Well, the Browns were making some moves, so I got to keep abreast of those on Twitter. But yeah, I hit them straight, 74-70. So I was happy with that.
I could take a day like that. All right, speaking of your little bit of fun in the sun right there, the front offices were gathered in Phoenix, Arizona this past week for the annual NFL owners' meetings, and that gets us right to our trending topics. Coach Mike Pettine met with reporters on Wednesday and was asked about the timetable for Johnny Manziel to begin off-season work with the team. Here's what the coach had to say.
There's no firm timeline, but I'm optimistic that he'll be in town. I think it's April 20th is our first day. Right now, to me, it's my biggest, the primary concern with him is just Manziel, the person. When he's back with us and it's all about football, that we're confident between Flip and between Kevin that they're going to do an outstanding job, not just him but all of our quarterbacks, holding them accountable, getting them prepared. They're going to get coached hard, and we're going to hopefully get everything out of them that we can.
All right, you heard what Mike Pettine had to say. What's most important for Johnny is getting his personal life back together. He's still optimistic that he'll be back for the off-season program that starts on April 20th.
Yeah, of course, that is the most important thing. Johnny Manziel, the human being, getting things figured out, and you hope that it coincides with being able to come in day one as he has to learn a new offense again this year and have the opportunity to come in, get back into football, immerse himself there, learn the offense, get as many reps as possible so he can compete with Josh McCown. But again, there's no rush. You've got McCown here for a reason. He can start in the NFL, and you want to take care of Johnny because Johnny being healed as a human is going to help him as a professional.
So let's make it perfectly clear. April 20th is not a day that is set in stone for Johnny to come back. It'd be a great time if he could, but getting Johnny healthy is the most important situation.
Bottom line, absolutely.
All right, so let's take a look at this quarterback room, the way it looks now, and you've got a veteran, you've got a guy that's got a little bit of time, and then you got a guy who's coming back.
Absolutely. You've got a couple young guys. You got Johnny, who we talked about, and, of course, Connor Shaw. And Ray Farmer saying down there at the owners' meetings, don't sleep on Connor Shaw because of what he showed against the Ravens. Went into Baltimore, a game the Ravens had to win to get into the playoffs, led the team down the field. They had the lead in that game, played through an injury, and showed a lot of heart, and you could just tell the team loved playing for him. So it's a good room. You've got the mix of the old with the young, plus the team loves the new quarterback coach, Kevin O'Connell, who's worked with a lot of the top prospects, and quarterback guru George Whitfield. And then you've got John DeFilippo, who's been in that room as a quarterback coach himself in the past with Derek Carr in Oakland.
All right, you said they love him, but why? What makes these guys so special?
Well, they have worked with young quarterbacks, which is important when you're trying to develop a guy like Johnny Manziel. They understand the position, and John DeFilippo, as I said last year, was there with Derek Carr in Oakland, leading him to a successful rookie season. And then you've got the guy, Josh McCown, who's played in the league, had a great run in Chicago 2 years ago where he had 13 touchdowns, one interception, and has also embraced kind of that mentor role. He knows at 36, if he can come in and start for this team, that's exactly what he's going to do. But if he can help Johnny Manziel and his development, because the truth of the matter is that's the best path to success for this team in that quarterback room. It's Johnny getting right off the field and then getting right on the field and doing the things that made him so special at Texas A&M.
Well, it'd be great to see that, wouldn't it? All right, more from the owners' meetings now. It was reported that the Browns are currently making plans to spend 2 days in Western New York to hold a training camp and a joint practice with the Bills. In return, the Bills would return to Cleveland to play in a preseason game. Occasionally, that's something we see in the NFL, but it's something we haven't seen from the Browns in quite some time.
I love this. This is a team that's all about competition, and what better way to see where your team is than to compete against another team? They don't know your scheme. They haven't seen what you're running every single day. So I love this. You've got that aspect of it. You got the personalities of Mike Pettine and Rex Ryan going head-to-head, the student and the teacher. That's going to be a lot of fun. I think this is a great thing for the Browns.
All right, Mike Pettine in his first year, I don't know that if you're a first-year head coach you want to do this. Maybe he wanted to do this a little bit last year, but now he's more comfortable as a head coach taking his team on the road for a joint practice.
Yeah, it's something that he wanted to do last year, but said he didn't have enough time to get it put together. Bill Belichick does it. The Patriots are big fans of it. And I think it's going to be great for the fans to get an opportunity to see this team. It's going to be great for the players to go against somebody else. You get sick of going against the same guys day after day. And again, really see where you're at as you're installing a new offense, seeing where this defense progresses in year number two. I think this is going to be a lot of fun to watch and a lot of fun for the players.
Lastly, in trending topics, it was announced this week that the Browns will receive zero compensatory picks for this year's draft. This, of course, is due to the number of free agents signed last season. Nathan, please explain compensatory picks to me.
All right, well, the reason the Browns got zero last year is because you brought in some significant free agents to make up for the ones that you lost. You lost T.J. Ward. Well, you brought in Dante Whitner. You brought in Carlos Dansby, Andrew Hawkins, Jim Dre, guys who came in and made significant contributions. So in that aspect, it's okay. It's a young team that needed to add some of those veterans to help change the culture, and that's what they did. Now, looking forward to the next year, the Browns are in a good situation to pick up four compensatory picks, which is the maximum. So the Browns have lost Brian Hoyer, Jordan Cameron, Jabal Sheard, Buster Skrine, and Ataba Rubin. Five guys have gone out. Williams is the only one they brought in. So that's why you get to that four number of compensatory picks. And if that happens, right now the Browns projected to get two fourths, maybe a fifth and a sixth. That means you can have 11 picks in 2016. This team wants to build through the draft. You have 10 this year, 11 next year. That's a great opportunity to add a lot of talent.
All right, Nathan, great stuff, and thanks for explaining it to me, because I got to tell you, compensatory picks aren't easy for fans to understand.
I don't think the NFL understands it, really.
Well, salary cap is the other one, right?
Yeah, people these are
can't
tough.
Figure that out.
That's right. That's right. We have smart people working on that for the Browns, like my man Sashi Brown.
There you go. All right, we're going to have much more of the Dog Pile Report coming up right after this. Coming up next, Joe Thomas gives us his impressions of the newest Browns uniforms. We explain the position change for Phil Taylor, and you'll find out what rule change came out of the owners' meetings.